And welcome to the Canadian Ruck Podcast. This is Jamie Gray, and it's a pleasure to have you along this journey. This pod, we welcome Sophie DeGoody to our pod, and we're excited to have her on a little bit later on. So, as always, we like to start our pod with ways you can contact us or ways that you can continue to spread the great word of rugby, especially Canadian rugby. So contact us. We're on a variety of social media platforms. We're on the Twitter at Canadian Ruck. We're on the Instagram at @the_Canadian_Ruck. And we're on Facebook at the Canadian Ruck. Reach out to me at any time there. I like getting back and bantering back and forth with rugby fans. If you just want to drop me a line or maybe send me a voice clip, send it to my email, which is thecanadianruck@gmail.com. But remember, when you're watching and listening to the pods, make sure that you follow and you subscribe. That way you get the updates when the new pods go up. But beyond that, share it. You know, pass the word around. Make sure that your mates, your teammates, your friends, your coworkers, make sure they're all knowing about the Canadian Ruck so that they can hear the great stories of some of these great athletes and storytellers and whatnot. It's always awesome to spread the word. When you do that, make sure that you let them know we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on CastBox. Those are your listening stations. And to watch, if you want to sit back and kick back and watch the actual interview, it's always posted on the YouTube. And if you kind of forget where to go, if you can't remember where anything is, always go to the website, thecanadianruck.weebly.com. There's links to all the YouTube, there's links to all the Spotify, there's... You know, we talk about, you know, some of my other favorite pods that I like to listen to, and all of that information is centrally located on the Canadian Ruck website. Big shout outs this week. Nobody in particular. It was awesome though. There's a lot of feedback bouncing around about the last week's gray area, which was should rugby coaches focus more on the X's and O's, or should they focus also on life skills? And a few suggested it depended on age level, but the vast majority on Twitter and on the Instagram all suggested that it's important that life skills are taught, not just rugby. And there's a lot of stats that backs that up, and the listeners said the same thing. So it was great to hear. Basically, you know, there's a lot of young players out there that need help molded, and even some older ones. As I said last pod, that New Zealand All Blacks, and New Zealand rugby, they look at coaches that know how to foster good people and not just players. And I think that's very important to help players and coaches too, to be good stewards of the game, to be a good ancestor of the game, to make sure that they're able to give back to the game of rugby and to the game of life. And rugby news, we're going to look at a few things here. And to start off, it's not rugby specific, but in a roundabout way it is. You know, over the course of the last few days, it's come out that Brazil's national soccer teams, the women, will now receive the same pay as the men's. On the international stage, that's huge. There's a lot of big bucks there, which is great news. And England is following suit. They're also going to do the same thing, where England's women's soccer team will receive the same pay as the men's team. It's amazing. Again, it's not rugby, but in a roundabout way, it can get there, because national sporting governors and the people that monitor the national sporting teams now need to step up and take notice that, hey, it's happening in soccer. Why isn't this happening in other sports as well? So does this actually open the door for rugby or other sports on the international stage? In my opinion, some of the most exciting sports to watch are international matches. And I think most everybody would agree it's, you know, you're watching World Cup events, you're watching Olympic events, you're watching anytime there's an international match, even if it's a friendly, it's often more exciting than just a pro game, and pro games are great. But that's not just men's. I love watching women's sports as well. I mean, who could forget in 2014, Magalie Harvey's 90-yard try in the Rugby World Cup semifinal? I mean, Canada dominated a scrum on their five. The ball gets out to Magalie. She's about 10 yards from her own line. And then she just, you know what, I'm just going to run the entire length of the field, juke a few players, and score this beautiful try. Who could forget that? Or hockey front, MP Poulin scoring that OT gold medal winning goal for Canada in the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Canada's on the power play. She slots one in from the hash marks, basically, to give Canada the gold. or Christine Sinclair just a few months ago back in January, I believe, breaking the all-time goals record in soccer with her 185th goal. I mean, exciting moment for soccer, exciting moment for women's soccer, an exciting moment for Canadian soccer. And the one that I always love is Jenny Finch striking out Albert Pujols, he as a legend with 659 major league home runs, striking him out in 2015 in fastball soft pitch. Unbelievable watching that happen. On the women's game, I mean, I personally find it frustrating, and I'm not a female, but watching men's sports and women's sports, I find the skill level oftentimes is quite on par. There's a lot of talent in the women's game all across the board. In every sport you watch, the higher you go up, the more that skill set is prevalent. But there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of high skill set. And even watching my prep girls, not mine, but where I teach the prep girls hockey team, you know, these 16, 17-year-old girls, like, they can fly. They can – some of them I've seen shoot the puck harder than, you know, grown men. It's amazing. And I think one thing that kind of gets swept under the rug, or maybe it doesn't get as much recognition when it comes to the women's game, whether it's rugby, whether it's hockey or soccer or hoops or whatnot, is the grit and character and heart that these women show. Unbelievable amount of drive and determination that women possess when they're playing their sport. Men do as well, absolutely, but I think more so with women that aspect goes unrecognized. And like, hats off to watching women play those tough contact sports and getting up and loving every minute of it just as much as a man does. So hats off, women. I think that's I think these steps that the Brazil's national soccer and England's national soccer team has started with, putting their men's and women's team on equal pay, I think that will translate across the board, hopefully sooner rather than later. With COVID, you never know when that'll happen, but keep an eye on it, keep pushing for it, and you have my vote if we get a chance to vote on something like that. Another one, an odd one here, basically, the new Irish kit. This was interesting. This was just a few days ago. Canterbury came out with the new Ireland jerseys, and they had three male rugby players to basically model the jerseys for the photo shoot. For the females, though, they didn't get women or female players. They actually brought in models. This caused a bit of an uproar, and rightfully so. Canterbury's actually apologized since then for the blunder. Initially stated that it happened because they were excited to get the jerseys promoted and they just wanted to get the photos out the door. But they went on to say, and I quote, "We accept that this was an error and apologize for any upset caused. At Canterbury, we believe that rugby is for everyone and we're united by our mutual love of the game." After the incident, like right as soon as happened, and women rugby players in Ireland and around the world were posting training, like pics in their training gear with the hashtag I am enough. And according to World Rugby Stats as of 2018, a third of the players in the world are female. So that, you know, this is might seem like a slight oversight, but at the end of the day, it is a kind of a little back slap to the face. And Canterbury should know better than to try something like that, even if it was unintentional, as something that should have been could have easily been prevented with some clear thought process. When, you know, a third of the players are women, why wouldn't you have women modeling the gear the same as the men did? I believe personally that women are enough for sure in the game. It's a huge oversight on Canterbury, and one that hopefully won't be happening again. That kind of rolls into our gray area, and this is a simple one. To me, it's a no-brainer. Should men and women be paid the same on the international stage? My opinion, 100% yes, absolutely, without a doubt, no questions asked. Anybody care to suggest otherwise? Let's hear it on social media. Coming up next, though, we have the pleasure of introducing you to Sophie DeGoody. She just turned 21, just a youngster. She's still in university, much like, I guess, Pam Buisa is still in university as well, but Sophie's a little bit younger. And on top of that, she's just named Rugby World Magazine. They recognize as the top female number 8 in 2019. She was only 20 at the point. She played in the Super Series versus England, France, US, and New Zealand. In those four matches, she scored 24 points from one try, three penalties, and five conversions. That's not too bad for a 20-year-old playing in her first international matches. She's an athlete in the truest sense of the word. For me, an athlete is somebody that plays more than one sport. All right, you can be a good basketball player, a great basketball player, but if you don't play other sports, in my opinion, are you an athlete? Yeah, I'm not sure. You're a great basketball player, but that doesn't mean you're a great athlete. Sophie's one of those ones that does it all. She plays on the varsity basketball team at Queens, and she plays on the varsity rugby team at Queens. She's also Queens Female Athlete of the Year. I think you're going to enjoy it. She's a very humble and down-to-earth, young, powerful woman, great speaker, and she's going to be one to be reckoned with on the rugby pitch for many years to come. She'll be coming right up after this brief message from our ad this week, which comes from Authentically Bold. Authentically Bold, it's been an initiative set up to support Black Lives Matter. All right, Pam Buisa and Charity Williams are two of the founding members. And right off their website, it says, "We are on a mission to encourage people to believe they have the power to make a positive difference in their community." And what a great mission statement. They're here to support and strengthen the creation of Black and Indigenous history curriculum. This is great. I teach history. I teach Canadian history. And I'm always looking for new resources. So I'm including stuff every year and every chance I have. And I'm hopefully we'll be getting stuff from the Black Lives Matter, from Authentically Bold. They have excellent swag, great shirts for sale, and then great shirts for all. Beautiful stuff. Make sure you check it out. What's even better, though, is 100% of their profits are going to be donated to British Columbia's Black History Society. So they're not just taking, they're taking, they're giving, they're doing everything they can. You need to check them out, though, at authenticallybold.com. Check out their website, buy some swag, support this great cause. Up now, Sophie DeGoody. All right, and welcome back to the Canadian Ruck. In this pod, we're fortunate enough to have Sophie DeGoody on, and Sophie's the youngest guest we've had on. She's 20, I believe, maybe 21 now.
And just turned 21
and it's exciting for us to talk, and I'm glad that she's here giving us a voice for the women's game. Sophie, welcome to the Canadian Ruck.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
That's awesome. All right, so let's jump right in. Let's start with how you got involved. So born and grew up in BC, which is a hotbed for rugby in Canada. I guess talk to us about how you became involved in the sport. Like at high school level, I think you played a little bit with the Wanderers, and that took you to Queens. So talk us about how you became involved in rugby.
For sure. Yeah, I'm super fortunate because I got started at a really young age, which I think is quite rare, historically has been rare for a woman in Canada. Both my parents have captained Canada, so it's been in the family. My brother Ty played for the national team, and my brother Jake played club at James Bay Athletic Association. So I'd been going to James Bay games since I was born, pretty much. Always going there every Saturday. And then in grade 3, I believe, I was at Willows Elementary School, so 8 years old. You're not supposed to start playing till you're in grade 4, but my parents were the coaches, so they snuck me in. And I started playing in elementary school there, and then started at Castaway Wanderers because James Bay didn't have a minis program, and the Castaways program is a great minis program in Victoria. And then I played like Castaways co-ed all through until I believe U14, and then we started a women's team there when we weren't allowed to play co-ed anymore. And then I played at my middle school, Lansdowne, and I played a bit at high school for Oak Bay. Then I got involved in the Canadian Sevens program in my final year of high school. And so that's kind of when things really took off for me. But yeah, lots of rugby ever since I was little.
It sounds like it. I mean, it's taking you all over the world, and we'll kind of get to that. But I'm always interested in the multi-sport athletes. That's one thing as a coach and as a parent, I always push as the multi-sport athletes. Doing that in high school is one thing, but you're at Queen's University, you're playing rugby and basketball, which isn't easy. You were just elected Female Athlete of the Year. Talk to us about what it's like to be a multi-sport athlete at such a high level. How does it help from one sport to the next? How does it hinder you from one sport to the next?
I mean, there's the obvious like physical aspects of, you know, basketball and rugby. They transfer well. There's acceleration through contact, handling, hand-eye, lateral coordination, quickness. And then there's the mental side too, right? Like you think about looking at a basketball court and seeing cutters cutting in behind and trying to find space towards the hoop. It's kind of similar in rugby when you can, if you're looking to put like a grubber through the line, or if you're taking a support line and trying to find the space behind the defensive line. And then like social too, right? It's a whole new group of friends and a whole new support system, especially at university. Being away from home, it was great to have two big groups of friends immediately the minute I got there. So I think like there are definitely some hindrances in terms of like, and maybe hindrance isn't the right word, definitely challenges like time management.
Yeah.
Which is something that everyone has to learn, right? So it's kind of good to get thrown into the fire at a young age. And there's some things you have to consider, like, for example, basketball is really heavy on conditioning. So if I want to improve my speed for rugby and my explosiveness, then I have to be careful about when I'm programming that in because I don't really get an off season.
Right.
So there's different things to consider, but there's, you know, like I played seven sports in high school. I genuinely believe that playing all those sports, taught me a lot moving up. Like even I wasn't a great volleyball player, so I rode the bench a lot and that taught me how to get used to not starting, right? Like I wasn't a big fish anymore. So, and then that was helpful when I moved into university and with the national team. So there's all sorts of benefits to playing multiple sports.
That's great. Like you hit on a whole bunch of things there. You didn't say it, but the awareness comes to mind when you were talking about the transference of seeing the vision on the rugby pitch to, you mm-hmm. know, maybe kicking a grubber through to looking at holes when you're trying to make a pass in basketball and things like that. Just those little things that transfer over so naturally it's really impressive. And as for hindrances, yeah, I agree. The time management thing, everybody's busy. So it's prioritizing. And I guess having those coaches that are willing to allow you to play at both sports at such a high level must be great. Did you have any backlash on that? Like
when I was trying to choose where to go to school, originally I looked, when I was maybe in grade 9 or 10, I was looking at going to the States to play basketball. And then I decided I wanted to play both. Actually, honestly, one of the coaches that was recruiting me said, you know, as a differentiating factor, like you'll be able to play both at our school. And I thought like, whoa, really? And I hadn't considered that at all. And then that was my thing. I was like, okay, any school that contacts me, I'm not going there unless I can play both. So I think really sticking to my guns and believing in my own worth and ability to do that. And some schools were like, okay, like maybe the rugby coach was game, but the basketball coach wasn't really into it. Well, once I went to Queens, they were both coaches were really willing to work well with each other. And the teams were super supportive too. So like when I'm playing rugby, the basketball team will come out and cheer. When I'm playing basketball, the rugby team will come out to our games. So
that's cool.
It's super cool. And it's a really cohesive and collaborative environment. And that's what's allowed me to thrive, right? Like it's not something, if I had to pull strings to get this done, it would have been a lot harder. So it's neat to have people working with you.
For sure. I imagine it's difficult. A lot of schools where those coaches are bumping heads, where one only wants you, they only want you to play one sport. I mean, I see that at high school when I have kids that are really talented basketball or hockey players, and the coaches at the leagues above are saying, no, we don't want them to, but there is the odd coach. One of my kids went down to the States in Texas to play basketball. And when he found out that he was one of the co-captains on the rugby team, he's like, that's amazing. Like this kid plays rugby too. And I think it goes back to that, you know, transference of skills. And I think personally rugby toughens basketball players up, but
for sure. Yeah, that's just like me. When you know it's a good coach, right, is someone who values that transfer. I remember I played rep soccer when I was U12 or U13, and they told me, like, so I'm 11 years old, and they told me I have to quit all other sports. And I remember them saying, like, that's the way, like, focus on soccer, you'll get a university scholarship. And, like, coming home to my mom being like, I have to quit everything so that I can get a scholarship. And she was like, there's no way. Like, if anything, you're quitting soccer because that's dumb.
That's really like grade 7.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't quit anything else. Like, I just kept playing and, you know, didn't tell them. And it's gotten me, I got a scholarship, so not too worried about it at this point.
All right. So when I was doing a little research on you, I found that you're kind of goal driven, and I came across a mantra that you live by, that you try to live by: your goals dictate your actions. Talk to us about that and how your goals dictate your actions.
I can't remember who said that quote, but it was something I came across when I was a lot younger, and I put it up on a, just wrote it out on a piece of paper and stuck it up in my room. And I think as humans, we're obviously constantly making decisions, right? Like little daily decisions on what to eat, or bigger life decisions on where to live or what university to go to. And I think when you have a really clear, like a North Star guiding goal or multiple goals, it's much easier to make those decisions and to reference back to make sure that they align with your dreams. So that's kind of where your goals dictate your actions resonates for me. It's like all that daily decisions, what to eat, how to train, who to be, how to talk to people. And a lot of that can be made really simple, a lot of those decisions, by just referencing, does it get me closer to my goal? So do I want to eat junk food tonight, or do I want to eat something that's going to fuel me so that I can have a good training session tomorrow so that I can perform better, right? So it's just like a guide, I guess, to help inform what you do on a daily basis.
I think it's a good one, because I had a nice big plate of chips with some cheese last night, and I wish I had them, but you know, I'm 44, so for me, my goals are different. Like, is it a big bowl of chips I'm having, or just a small bowl?
So. Yeah.
So as I said at the top here, female athlete of the year at Queens, you're multi-sport, you play varsity rugby, you play varsity basketball. What does that mean to you, is becoming nominated and becoming the female athlete of the year? You know, you were 20 when it happened, you just turned 21. So you're going into third year, I imagine, is that right?
Just finished third year.
Just finished third year. So you still have another year left. What does that mean to you to be selected to that? Is it something, an individual award that you appreciate, or is it more, I look at it from, I couldn't have done this without my teammates on the court and on the pitch?
Oh, definitely the latter. I appreciate it as an individual award as well. You know, it's an incredible honor to get that Outstanding Performance of the Year award. And there's so many remarkably talented and driven athletes on the two teams I play for alone, let alone across the university. So just to be able to give back through sport and be acknowledged for it is such a cool opportunity for me, but it's definitely more than anything a testament to, as I was saying, the support that I get from my teammates and from my coaches. There's absolutely no way. You know, that's why I picked Queens, because I knew that the support there would be enough that I could achieve things like this. So it's definitely neat to be acknowledged for it.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's, if I were your teammate or if I were your coaches, that's one of those answers that you want to hear, because it doesn't sound scripted. It sounds purely genuine, and you mm-hmm. fully mean what you're saying. So that's great.
For sure.
Saying that, I read the Rugby World magazine, I read the New Zealand edition, and I read the UK edition, and I stumbled across a really interesting article. They were doing the top 15 players on both the men's and women's side of the year, and you were selected as for the World All-Star at number 8, according to the writers at the Rugby World magazine. They said in the article, a quote is, she was a standout in the Super Series where she made her Canadian debut. They referenced your parents, Hans and Stephanie, both captains, as you mentioned earlier, Rugby Canada mm-hmm. in the past. This is naturally really, really cool. This is an amazing selection. You're the only Canadian. What are your thoughts on that? Like, when I messaged you the questions, you didn't know, but you've had a few days to kind of process it. Like, what are your thoughts here? That's big. Is that a lot of pressure? You know, prepping for maybe the 2021 Rugby World Cup, does that help you drive you to become better? Does that scare you a little bit? What are your thoughts around that selection?
Yeah, it was funny when we were speaking beforehand, because I honestly had no clue. And then I was like, this guy, like, he seems pretty well, like, he researches the questions and stuff, and he seems pretty well read on this thing. So I was like, do I need to fact, like, that's so weird. Like, why didn't I have any idea? But it was super cool when I saw that article. And it's really humbling just to be named alongside other players of that caliber when you're reading the other names on that list. But I really think, going back to like the same, or getting that award for Queens, it's a testament to our team, and that someone on debut would feel comfortable and confident enough to go out and perform is a testament to the chemistry and the cohesion that we have in our team, and the support from the coaching staff, from our teammates as well, that I was able to go out and do that, supported by them on the field. So I would say that's like that was kind of the first thing that hit me, was like, whoa, it sounds cool from an individual standpoint, but I think it's more of a reflection of our Canadian team. And it's neat that my parents got the shout out as well. They've been my biggest supporters for 21 years now. So it's neat to have that chance to follow in their footsteps. And I think my dad was on a World 15 team, so it's neat.
What did they say when they, when you shared the article with them?
My mom was like, why didn't we know about this? Like, I want, she was like, I want to post it, but it's like 6 months, 7 months later. So yeah,
I think they were definitely posted at any time.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. She has, no hesitation about most of her posts. So I'm sure it'll be up there soon.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, I haven't really got to see you play much. But I did watch a few YouTube clips while you were at, with Queens, and you know, you spoke about it earlier, but your awareness, I saw this just an offload by somebody and you were kind of running wide and you faked a pass and two defenders bit and you just exploded into this gap and ran about 30 yards for a try. I was like, wow, that's, you know, that's highly impressive. That's something you see the upper echelon people do. And to watch you do that at the age of 19, 20 years old, I was like, that's great field awareness, great vision. And then obviously the athletic ability to actually follow through what you're trying to do. So that was, you know, your future's bright if you keep at it.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So you're welcome. We're going to get to the quick fire right now. So again, this is about 20 to 25 questions. Nothing meant really to think about. The first few questions, people usually think a little bit harder, but it's really just a chance to get to know Sophie as a person and have a little fun. You ready?
Cool. Let's do it.
All right. Question one, best team you have ever faced in rugby?
The New Zealand women's team. Black Ferns. I felt like we played a really good game and then all of a sudden we were down by two tries in the final score. So it was like, how did that happen?
Your best player you ever faced?
Kendra Coxage of the scrum half for the New Zealand women's team. She just was running such incredible lines. Her efficiency of her running line, it was weird because I remember thinking about it during the game, like, why is she taking that line? And then all of a sudden the ruck was right there and she was at the ball. So it was kind of a clue in for me.
Different field of vision.
Yeah.
All right. Sevens or 15s?
You know, I love them both. I think my body type suits 15s more, probably a bit of a bigger player, but I'm really working on my speed so that I can be more effective on the sevens field as well.
How tall are you? Just off the
top. 6 foot.
6 foot.
Yeah.
Best rugby match you were ever a part of?
I think maybe the Super Series when we beat France. That was really, really cool opportunity. And then for Queens when we won our semifinal to go into the final, which unfortunately we lost this Nationals, but we'll get it next year.
You can't win them all, right?
Yeah.
All right. You might not want to answer this one. Rugby or basketball?
I get this one a lot.
you don't have to answer.
Yeah, I think I'm going to plead the fifth. But I love them both, and I wouldn't be doing both if I didn't really truly enjoy them both a lot.
I'll let you slide with that answer. That's
thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Favorite rugby tradition?
I think it's such a cool thing that we get together with the other team post-match. Not many sports do that, and I think it really shows the camaraderie and the respect that is so integral to rugby.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites too. Best team you have played with?
The national team. Sorry, there's a bug. The national team from this past summer for sure. But it's also the only national team that I've played with. November test as well. So this past year's national team was just a whole nother caliber of play. And then I played on a few Maple Leafs teams when I was doing sevens in high school that were also just, you know, to be in a training environment daily with those Olympic caliber athletes was something that just propelled my development.
Excellent. What's your nickname?
I get DaBatty or my dad always used to call me Imp, like little mischievous elf type.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good one. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
All right. The player that you love to smash.
Oh, goodness.
Too many?
Yeah, I mean, getting a good hit on anyone is always a great feeling.
Some people just say anybody in an American jersey, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we lost the American team last summer at Super Series, and then getting to play them again in November, I was so amped about, our whole team was so amped about that game, or those two games, because it was just a chance to show that we are the better country.
That's fair. Do you have any rugby or basketball superstitions?
I eat plain Greek yogurt and granola with berries for breakfast on game days, for sure.
Every game
day? Yeah, but if I don't eat it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me too much, but I like it. I'd love to have that. And I also just really like getting to the gym or to the field early. Like, I like having time to sit around, gather my thoughts, and take it easy. And then my third thing would be I listen to Best of My Love by The Emotions before every game. I don't know why.
Can you sing that? I'm trying to figure. Can you sing that a little bit?
I'm really not a good singer, but it's like, you know, you got the best of my love. Like,
it's from the 70s.
Okay, yeah. Okay. It just makes me happy. I play better when I'm in a happy mood. Like, once I get out there, I can get pissed off at the other team, but I want to be in a good mood about myself and our team.
That's fair. All right. Major sporting event that you'd like to attend as a spectator?
As a spectator? I think being at an NBA finals would be incredible. I'm a big follower of the NBA. And I also think Olympic track, like 100-meter finals or 400-meter finals, would be just remarkable to see the athleticism of those runners. Oh, sorry, you just cut out for a second there.
How's that?
That's better, yeah.
Sorry. All right, so sorry about that.
That's okay.
Pickup game, 5-on-5. Who are your four teammates? They can be anybody. Male, female.
Okay. I'm going to go Elena Deladon. She's a WNBA star.
Okay.
LeBron, for sure. Luka Doncic.
You got to take MJ over LeBron.
I'm a young soul. But MJ's definitely the best of all time, but I'm a LeBron fan. And then Luka Doncic, he's my age, making a big splash in the NBA right now. And then 1, 2, 3. Am I in the five? Sorry, you just cut out again.
Sorry, there's something going on with my mic. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're the fifth, so you've got three right now. We need one more plus you.
One more. I'll take our point guard from Queens, Emirizzi.
Okay.
On the show.
Nice. Place that you would like to visit the most?
I've always wanted to go to Fiji. I think their rugby culture is pretty neat down there, and also just the tropical vibe.
Awesome. All right. What's your most used app?
Right now it is the Team Builder, which I get workouts through, okay, and the stopwatch for training.
I was thinking, like, I thought you were going to say TikTok or Instagram or something.
No, I hide TikTok so that I don't go on it too
smart,
often.
Smart, smart. My wife has an account. She doesn't post, but she loves scrolling and laughing.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it's dangerous.
What's your go-to food? Is it yogurt and berries? Or?
Yep. Yogurt, okay. Berries, and granola. All right. Or a big salad with some good protein in it. And yeah, I love
all that. Right. So the next few questions you might not answer then. So chips or cookies?
Cookies. Oatmeal, raisin.
Oh, you're still in a healthy aspect, isn't it?
But a good chewy oatmeal raisin.
Okay.
Yeah.
French fries or onion rings?
French fries. But sweet potato French fries with ketchup.
So French fries or poutine?
French fries.
Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite beer?
God. I'll go with the hometown Lucky Lager.
Okay. I think a couple other people have chosen that one too. What's a guilty pleasure?
Ice cream.
What
ice
kind?
Ice cream gets me. Just a vanilla or cookies and cream. Yep.
Cone or dish?
It kind of depends on the mood.
You're thinking too much about
that. I really am thinking. Sorry. Dish.
Okay. What's the best place for a post-match beer, post-match festivities?
If you're in Kingston, the Brass Pub.
I've heard about that one.
Yeah.
All right. What series are you binge-watching right now?
I've been watching The Great Canadian Bake Off. I think because I don't eat treats that often, it kind of like satisfies the craving.
Okay. What's your favorite movie?
I like Ferris Bueller's Day Off for sure.
Nice, classic.
Yep.
Who would play you in the Netflix movie of your life?
God. I hope Jennifer Lawrence, but who knows?
All right. Who would play the leading man or the leading opposite? It's your movie. It can be anybody.
I know, man. You're thinking too hard. I don't watch that many movies. I know. Sorry. Ryan Reynolds.
Good Canadian.
Yeah.
All right. And last quickfire question. What would the movie be called? The goody, the baddie, the ugly?
Yeah, perfect. Let's go with that. That sounds good to me.
Sorry, I should let you come up with something.
No, I like that was better than anything I was going to come up with.
All right, so I only got a few questions left, Sophie.
Yeah.
I think I have an idea because you talked about this as your app, but COVID's happening right now. Rugby's down, basketball's down. What are you doing to stay prepped for both of those sports right now?
When I was back home in Victoria, the James Bay Clubhouse has a little gym in there, so I was working out there, and then on the fields for running and on the outdoor courts. Now that I'm back in Ontario, just going into the gyms are open now. So getting in there with the training and then doing skills with friends and teammates and then watching a ton of rugby. So the super rugby stuff that's over now and then premiership. And now that the NBA playoffs has started, I'm super into that as well.
Who's your super rugby team? Do you have a favorite?
I liked watching Crusaders, of course, but I like the Blues. I thought their back row was insane. Good.
Absolutely. Who's your basketball team?
Right now, because Luka's on the team, it's the Mavs. And then I cheer for the Lakers as well, for sure. But I'm going for the Mavs right now. And I want them to beat the Clippers so that the Lakers don't have to play the Clippers.
Really thought that out?
Yeah, it's well thought out.
In your rugby career so far, who's had the biggest impact on you as a player?
Mom and dad, you know, from ever since I was growing up, never forced advice on me, but I would always ask for it, and they give really good advice. Also, Dan Valley at Queens has been incredibly instrumental over the past 3 years, just even building me as both a leader and a player. And then I'd say our entire Canadian coaching staff has been really helpful over this past year too. Sandro, Kevin, Duncan, and Maria Gallo, who's also an ex-female international. But the one especially has been Jack Henratty, who I worked with at U20s. Him and Kelly Russell were together. And so it was neat to play for Kelly, who is obviously the previous Canadian number 8 at the last World Cup. And then Jack's just a great motivator of people and gets along really well with everyone. And so he's been a great coach for my development as well.
Yeah, Jack's a great guy. I know him a little bit from being out here on the East Coast and stuff, and attended a couple of his conferences. He's supposed to be on my pod here eventually, but we haven't been able to connect. So eventually I'll have to let him know that you gave him a little shout out there.
Yeah, put the pressure on for me.
That's right. All right. What are your thoughts on what makes a great team player? Do those same thoughts transfer from basketball to rugby and vice versa?
Yeah. So I was thinking this one through a bit, and I went with something that it could be a great team player for rugby, basketball, a management team. I think it's someone who makes their teammates look good, so improves the performance of the people around them. And I think it's someone who gives their team confidence. But doing it in an authentic way. So I'm not a rah-rah person. I don't have a super loud voice. Sometimes I can speak kind of monotonely. but I don't want to fake I don't want to fake that. So I think it's really important to be authentically yourself. And each team is going to be composed of players who might be better at the motivation side of things. So as a teammate, you need to understand your role and call upon people for a pregame speech, for example, who might be more of the rah-rah type. So just kind of making sure that you're authentic to yourself so that we can all work synergistically. And then the last thing I was thinking about was a willingness to learn and to consistently want to keep getting better.
That's awesome. Yeah, like being authentically who you are, being that genuine person, whether you're a captain, whether you're a coach, whether you're, you know, on the bench, you're doing everything you can as yourself to help your team succeed.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, people can sense when you're not being yourself. So you want to be true.
Absolutely. So you're very young in your career, just turned 21. Look ahead 15 years. Now, this is a hard one to do because most times when I ask this question, they're at the end of their career, they've mm-hmm. been retired. As a rugby player, you're 36 years old, you're hanging up your boots. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want, you know, you're gathering for a reunion. Like, what do you want your teammates to say about you?
I think I want to be remembered for being a good leader of people and for getting along with everyone, and versatility on the pitch for sure. For my part in making the Canadian women's team the number one team in the world perennially. But mostly just for being a person that people want to be around. And so I trust in myself and my skills on the field in terms of how I'm going to be remembered as a rugby player myself, but to be remembered as a good teammate, I think would mean almost more to me.
I think that's fair. I think most people say something like that. I want them to remember me as a good person, as a good teammate, somebody that would do what I could to help the team. So that's awesome. Yeah. All right. So you're at Queen's. What are you studying there right now?
So I'm in commerce. At Queen's, we don't do business with a specialty in X, Y, Z, but you can sort of pick in what classes you're going into in third and fourth year. So I've been doing a lot of things in management and human capital, excuse me. So like organizational behavior and how people work together. I took some advanced level accounting and finance as well, but more so that if I'm in a management role, I can speak the language of the different departments I'm working with. And then eventually I'd like to go into law perhaps, but we'll see. Hopefully play a few years of professional rugby first.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about playing the two varsity sports at the same time, the basketball and the rugby, and you talked about time management sometime, but you're taking a pretty hectic course load there with commerce. How do you find the balance? Like, how do you find the time to devote to your classes, devote to rugby, and then devote to basketball and still have time to be a 21-year-old kid at university? Enjoying your lager.
Yeah.
Lucky lager.
They don't have Lucky in Kingston.
Oh, right. So
when I was in grade 12, so I was working with the sevens, John Tate mentioned that balance as an athlete versus someone who's no longer in athletics or, you know, has other things on the go. It's relative to each individual. So I've found a balance that I'm comfortable with and a routine that challenges me, but that I really enjoy. And I think it definitely, like, not superhuman in any way, shape or form. Like, it's overwhelming at times, but if, like, I'm a super routine person, so I break it down into day-by-day schedules and things feel more manageable when you can see it coming and it's scheduled out, and you know you're not missing anything and it's all written down and it's not just running around in your head. So for me, it just all comes down to routines and planning and trying to stay on top of things and then doing things that I enjoy. So if it's not something that I'm really going to enjoy or contribute to what I want to do or to what I want to do for others, then there's no point in me doing it, right? Let's save that time and that energy for something that is going towards, you know, something more important.
Nice. So routines, goals, and like, give me an example of what you would do to blow off steam, something that you would enjoy that's outside of your classes and outside of the rugby pitch and outside of the basketball court.
Right. There's not a ton of time there, but I love going for hikes. There's not a lot of hikes to do in Kingston, but even just walking around. And then
like a walk to the ice cream store or something.
Yeah. Last off season when I had some more time after we finished up our basketball, so sort of in the month or two of exams before the summer hit and Rugby Canada got going, I was going to yoga a lot. And okay. I really enjoyed that as kind of a way to like a movement meditation type of thing. And then I also like podcasts a lot, just as a listening to other people's conversations. And
this is your
feels like you're
one,
learning
right?
something.
This is your
yeah,
go-to
this
podcast.
Is my,
right?
This is my number one podcast. There it yeah, is. Well, it is now for sure.
All right. So, last question. Some people won't answer this one because they're a little scared of what they might say, and others have fun with it. But any great rugby stories you can share with us, something, you know, maybe you throw an old teammate under the bus. Maybe it's just about team bonding experiences. Like one of my guests talked about their team watched Sharknado as a team bonding experience. And now it's something they laugh about all the time, but anything come to mind that you could share with us that would be worth a laugh?
The first one that came to mind
So you have more than one.
I don't know. I didn't really think much past the first one that came to mind. But for our first cap, so I got my first cap with Marie-Pierre Fauteu. So we call her MP. She's from Quebec. And we both got we didn't have our like actual national team caps there in San Diego. I'm not sure. Maybe there's a delay in getting them. So Maria Gallo had gone out with one or two of our senior players to Walmart, and they picked up these these like ball caps, which were like light blue and like light pink, and had glitter and sprinkles and sparkles all over them, and then big cats right on the front of the ball cap. And so when we were presented our first caps after our game, it was like a Walmart glitter cat hat.
You still have it?
Yep, still have it. It's hanging nice. Up in my room in Kingston. And we both wore them we had to wear them to the beach the next day when we had an off day. So
well, I think that's
kind of
reasonable.
A funny one. Yeah.
So do you have the actual cap now too?
I do. We got the cap. I know there are some girls who are still waiting for their caps, but I was fortunate to get mine, I think, a few months after our tournament.
You'll have to maybe you get your parents there to post that article that was in World Rugby Magazine, but also mm-hmm. have them post a picture of you and your glittery cat.
Glitter cat hat. Yeah.
That would be good. Well, listen,
I don't know
Sophie,
if you want the public seeing that yet.
Oh, I think it'd be good. Anyway, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me today, and you know, best of luck this year, your last year at Queens, and your last year at rugby and basketball there. So anyway, we wish you all the best, and take care and stay safe during the COVID.
I really appreciate it, Jamie. Same to you.
Well, that was great stuff. Thanks very much, Sophie. Really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us and sharing your rugby story and a bit about your life. It's always great to hear. So massive thanks to Sophie for joining us. Wish her nothing but the best as she finishes up her degree and continues playing out there at Queens for the basketball team and the rugby team, and look forward to seeing her Canadian jersey here soon. I'd love to have her on the pod again. It's exciting, so hopefully she can come back on. Coming up next, over the next few pods, we've got Pat Powerfree. He's next. He's on deck for us. After Pat is Matt Heaton. I'll be chatting with Aaron Carpenter this week, and we'll have him up shortly. Charity Williams as well as Rod Snow. And there are many others as well. For me, when I reach out, it's awesome when pretty much everybody gets back and says, yeah, I'd be happy to. And then it's just a matter of scheduling time. And for me, I've had the last couple months off as I'm a teacher, but school's starting back up. So it'll be a little harder finding time to get these calls in, but it's something I continue to want to do. And hopefully you enjoy listening and sharing along these stories. So as I said, school starts next week for me, just finish up our week intro meetings. A lot of COVID issues, you know, talking about what we do, things like that. But it's great to be back. I'm excited to get back in the class with the kids, and hopefully in the spring back on the rugby pitch with my team. The students definitely give me a lot of energy, and I feed off that. It helps me become a better person a lot of times. So I'm just excited to be back. So good luck, good health to all my fellow teachers, all the students going back, the admin and support staff, the custodians going back. It's nice to get everybody back in the class, and hopefully everybody can be safe at the same time. I'd like to give a big shout out to Ben Sound Music for supplying us with their tunes. And as always, feel free to request topics for future podcasts, you see my list of players and ex-players that are coming up. If you have questions that you want me to ask them, make sure you drop me a line. Until next time, this is Jamie. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane. Most importantly, keep on rocking.